what you're gonna do if the things you do don't reflect any credit on you? Are you going to continue to do that?
We are back with another episode of the Voices of the Lake podcast series. I'm your host, Joelle Burney, broadcasting from the shores of CUNY Lake, the ancestral home of the Yakiniki Band of the Tanaha Nation. We also acknowledge the other Tanaha bands in addition to the Sinaiks, Shwepnik, and Sealk First Nations who have territories and ancestral lands upstream and downstream of CUNY Lake. Thank you so much to our funders, Fortis BC and the Regional District of Central CUNY for helping us bring these stories to you. The song featured in this episode is Cell Reception by Earl Hamilton. You can listen to more of Earl's stuff on Bandcamp. Thanks so much for sharing, Earl. Today's guest is Mel Lavery. Mel comes into the role of coordinating for WildSight's Youth Climate Corps with over 10 years as an educator in youth leadership outdoor expeditions. This work has brought her all over the world, working with young people on three different continents. Hailing from Ontario, Mel has found a home in the CUNYs over the past 7 years. A master's candidate from Royal Roads University, she is studying the impacts that the Youth Climate Corps is making on crew members. She comes to this work with a passion for building community and establishing positive and inclusive learning environments. This podcast episode really hit home for me. Like many young people, I feel the weight of the climate crisis on my shoulders, and I'm actively trying to navigate this crazy whirlwind by learning, connecting, and taking action. Mel and I dive deep into some heavy conversations around what it's like being a young person working in the environmental field, navigating the feelings of eco-anxiety, and what keeps us hopeful. Mel shares the incredible work she's doing with WildSight around the Youth Climate Corps, why this program is so important, what kind of projects they do and will be doing this year, and ways youth can get involved. This program sounds incredible, and if you are a young person out there who wants to get an experience in the environmental field, I highly suggest applying. Before we get into this episode, there are a couple things that Mel asked me to include after we recorded. WildSight will have their applications go live on wildsight.ca/YCC in the second week of February. They currently have an application open for a golden coordinator. Kimberly Cranbrook Crew will be running this year, focusing on wildlife risk reduction and mitigation. Plus, WildSight will have a partnership in the West Kootenai branch with the RDCK to promote their Climate Action Culture Plan, which is inspired by the work the Youth Climate Corps did with the City of Nelson as climate ambassadors to the Nelson Next Plan. They will also continue to collaborate with the City of Nelson this season. I hope you all feel inspired by this episode because I know I was. Here we go. Hi, Mel. Thank you so much for being here and being on the Voices of the Lake podcast. Welcome. I hope you're excited for our chat today. I know that I am really excited to learn more about you, learn more about the Youth Climate Corps and all the work that you're doing on that set of things. And to kind of get the ball rolling, I thought we would do something fun that I've never done on the podcast before, but playing a little game of this or that. So I'm going to mention five different things, different scenarios, and you're going to choose which one you would prefer. And we'll do it kind of fast. So whatever, like the first one that comes to mind, choose that one. Okay. Summer or winter?
Shoulder seasons.
Okay. Canoeing or kayaking?
Whitewater canoeing, sea kayaking.
Oh, nice. Skiing or snowboarding?
Skiing, always.
Yeah. Pulpit or Lion's Bluff?
Oh, that's hard. I think Lion's Bluff because it's new, exciting.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Car camping or backcountry camping?
Backcountry.
Nice. Yeah, those are all good responses. I feel like you can't go wrong with any of those, but
no, some pretty good options to choose from.
Let's kind of start off by you sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
For the past decade, I have been an outdoor educator, and I've worked mostly in the backcountry, leading trips with youth, focusing on environmental education and leadership. And I guess during COVID, I was like extraordinarily privileged. And I had time to reevaluate what I wanted. And a lot of the work that I was doing was taking me out of the Kootenays, which has been kind of like a place that I've been wanting to be. And I've been coming back to since like a wild day and night in 2014. So after like living in Nelson. I kind of like wanted to come back during COVID, and I enrolled in a master's program and I moved back to the Kootenays. And so that kind of like leap was what ended up affording me an opportunity to work with the Youth Climate Corps program with WildSight.
Nice. And how long have you been working with WildSight for?
I've actually just been working with them for a year and a half, which is almost the longest contract of my life, other than working for a movie theater when I was like 14.
Yeah. 15. Wow. Nice. Awesome. And so WildSight, you work for that organization. Can you share a little overview about them and maybe the organization's mission?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're a grassroots organization and we started in Kimberley about 3 to 5 years ago, which is really exciting.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's kind of, it's crazy to think of us as a grassroots organization because we have like 6 autonomous branches. Okay. And we have like an interesting collection of work that we do. And we work like both locally and regionally and then also globally. We have like a really strong emphasis and connection to environments and communities that span the Columbia and Rocky Mountain regions.
Okay.
And what we want to do is have people in these communities understand and also connect with these places that we work in, and also work with the diversity of proponents and stakeholders and First Nations governments to protect these places that we really love and want other people to love.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I love that. And such important work too. And connecting people to nature. We definitely need more of that as well, to care for the places that they love to like hike in and adventure in. So that's really, really awesome. And what kind of projects do you do overall?
Yeah, we've got like a pretty big opus, really. We organize our programs into 3 separate areas, and that includes conservation, education, and sustainable communities. Okay. And then within those categories, we do like a really wide diversity of work, from like lobbying for more sustainable forestry and mining practices, to working with like Columbia Valley teachers to encourage robust environmental education and outdoor education programs. And then in our sustainable communities area, we have like local gardens and food knowledge workshops, and then also the Youth Climate Corps, which is the program I coordinate for, that's nestled under our sustainable communities programming.
Nice. Oh my goodness. That's such like a wide array of things. That's so cool. Before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the Youth Climate Corps, I thought we could kind of share some of our own experiences and perspectives of what it's kind of like being a young person working in the environmental field and kind of living through a climate crisis. I know I kind of first heard about you through the TEDx Selkirk Countdown event, and you know, a lot of things that we talked about during that event was like eco-anxiety and youth kind of living through or feeling like they have to tackle this massive issue because essentially we are the future. So we kind of do have to like tackle this massive climate change issue. And I thought we could maybe talk a little bit about that. So what kind of made you want to work in the environmental field? What kind of inspired you to do this work?
Yeah, I think that's like a really big question. Yeah, we've got like a pretty heady pill to swallow.
Yeah.
I guess like for me, being an outdoor educator and working in like a really big diversity of environments, I just like, I had so much opportunity in my life to really connect with these places that I like feel deeply, deeply invested in. And this work that I'm doing now is parallel and in alignment, but it's also really different, and it's working more on like a community infrastructure side. Yeah. And I think like working as an outdoor educator for so many years, I hold that experience and that work in so much value. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can also be so strongly transferred to like a community aspect. And yeah, I think that's something that I felt was really missing in my life as a backcountry educator, and working a lot of different contracts in different places throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I feel more connected to one environment and one community.
I guess a big kind of touchy question that's like really heavy, you know, we're going deep, is, do you experience eco-anxiety?
I experience like lots of different types of anxiety. I think eco-anxiety is definitely a part of that. And feeling overwhelmed and I don't know if my work feels like it makes a difference, but then, yeah. But then I come into a community like this where we have organizations like Focals and not Unite, Neighbors United, and things like that, and just so many people doing so much work. I think that's been something that has really helped. As even like the coordinator of this program, like that's something that I'm getting out of this program is like having a better understanding of like how much work is being done in our community.
Totally. I can definitely relate to that too, 'cause I don't know. I feel like before, like working or even volunteering for a nonprofit, I felt like I was a lot more anxious about the climate crisis before that. But then, yeah, being connected with a community of people who all care realistically about the same thing and are all kind of feeling the same feelings of like scared of their future, feeling anxious of their future, and it's really like a very grounding and becomes a safe space of feeling like you relate to these people, and also you're like working together to accomplish the same goal of protecting the things that you love. So it's definitely like for me in particular, it definitely helped me get over that kind of anxiety. I mean, I still definitely feel it, but it definitely helps knowing that I'm like doing something to help. So
You know, like I feel like it's important to have a bit of that too.
yeah,
Like
totally.
otherwise, we're going to find the impetus to act.
Yeah. And I guess my next question is, what keeps you hopeful? So I'm assuming that this work definitely does. But yeah, is there anything else or anything you wanted to share on that?
Yeah, meeting the like huge array of people in the communities that are also really motivated to find ways to like consider a planet in the work that they do, regardless of like what the work is.
And what is kind of one piece of advice you have for younger folks who may like feel overwhelmed by the climate crisis?
Talk about it, please. I think that's so important, is like finding people that you feel comfortable to talk about those feelings with. And also like there's a lot of resources out there to like help you feel more connected to the place you're in. And like I think too, like where Joelle, like you were feeling like feelings of anxiety before you started doing something about it. And like I think that feels really resonant for me too. And I think like what a lot of the folks that have been coming through this program feel too is like, oh, I've got like a lot of different ways that I can contribute. It doesn't have to look like a certain way.
Okay, so let's kind of dive into your work with WildSide's Youth Climate Corps. Do you want to start off by explaining what this program is for somebody who has no idea?
We're the Youth Climate Corps, YCC. We are a program that is run by WildSide, and it's like essentially an employment and employment program that also incorporates training into its contract. And we work in like a really wide range of like different sectors, and that includes like wildfire risk reduction, food security. We've recently started doing energy efficiency retrofit work, and then we've also partnered with like local governments to kind of do some localized climate action advocacy. And yeah, we work with crews to do projects that are like resonant to the local community, and they get an op opportunity to like work on something that they get to like plan and execute throughout their contract.
And again, that's like such like there's so many different projects that you're doing, a wide spectrum, which is really cool because youth kind of get to dip their toes in a bunch of different projects, like in energy, fire, and like all that kind of stuff, which is so cool because then they can kind of figure out like what they like best, and that might help them kind of scope out their careers in the future. So that's really cool.
Totally, absolutely. And I guess like something to add there is like, yeah, these programs are for folks who are like 17 to 30 years of age. But I think that like in our coming, like I'm sure we'll talk about what's coming up for us in the next year, next season, but we're trying out a few different things within our programming that this coming year that might differ from having like a smorgasbord or like a little cocktail season.
And can you maybe provide some examples of what the YCC has done so far?
Right now, we've got crews in Kimberley Cranbrook and then the West Kootenay. And Kimberley Cranbrook crew, they've worked in food security by partnering with the Kimberley and Cranbrook Food Recovery.
depots both in both of those locations. And then they've also done like community like cherry harvesting and local trees. And here in the West Kootenay, like we've worked with a few different permaculture farms.
Okay.
Including like Mr. Mercy's mushrooms. We've worked with Kim Watt in Thimble Hill, and just increasing capacity to those locations, but also like helping them to improve their ability to like donate food to our local food banks.
Yeah,
okay. And like wildfire risk reduction, we've worked in the West Arm Provincial Park doing wildfire work there. Also like fire smarting in Caslow, Argenta, and Bannock Point. We've done like an agroforestry project, which is pretty cool. Really interesting way to rethink how we look at like recently logged areas and how that can be like a vital resource in a bunch of different ways.
Nice. And so for the West Kootenay group in particular, do the youth like just work on one particular project throughout like however many months it is, or do they go from different project to different project? How does that kind of work?
Yeah. Well, we typically we work from like 4 to 6 months have been our project length. Yeah. And we've kind of done a little bit of a mashup between those two things, where we have had just like one project after another and move on. But then we've also had experiences where we might start with one project and then leave it for a little while and then come back later on in our season. And just depends on the type of project and like what the location needs, or like what our partners need from us from different projects.
Right. Okay. And do your partners usually reach out to you with a particular project in mind, or do you usually reach out to an organization and are like, hey, like, we have this group of youth that are interested in doing similar work that you're doing. Do you want to like create a project? Like, how does that work?
Oh gosh, it's been so fluid. Like we've had so many experiences where folks have come to us, which has been really exciting. And then there are certain grants that we see that we're like, oh, this would be really cool to apply for. Like who would be a really good partner? And we might approach a community partner in that way.
Nice, cool. And why do you think that this program is so important?
Okay. I think this is a really big question and I really like it. So I really believe that like young people have like a vital voice in our collective climate conversation. And I think that like this conversation is especially poignant for this population, as they'll be like most impacted by its conclusion. Mm-hmm. And I guess like to take that metaphor like a little further, I really think that it's more than just a conversation that we need to be happening. It needs to like lead to somewhere, to tangible action.
Right.
And so I think that like there are a lot of opportunities and options for young people to get involved in climate action. Mm-hmm. However, I don't feel like there are a lot of opportunities to get paid to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And fewer still where like education is a component. Like each of these programs that we have run, these contracts that we've run, have come with like training and certifications.
Mm-hmm.
And like with so many barriers to entry in environmental fields, like we really want to provide options for young people to earn a wage while gaining exposure and training in like a diversity of fields that contribute to making meaningful climate impacts. And like we want to invest in these skills of these folks because we know that the capacity that they hold is really powerful. Like these folks want to be doing things, and we know that they're going to be good at it if we give them the chance to be good at it.
Yeah, totally. And I think like, just like we were kind of talking about at the very beginning about connecting people to nature, I think that gives youth that opportunity too. And also just like with the wildfire management that you guys are doing, like youth actually get the opportunity to see a burn area or what it's like to actually manage after or before a wildfire. And that's like really intense, like real world stuff. And even me growing up in Ontario, I feel like I was so lucky that, you know, I didn't really like experience the impacts of climate change to the degree that I do now, like in BC, like coming to BC and all of a sudden like wildfires are everywhere and it's like incredibly smoky. And in Ontario, that was like, you know, very different. And so that connection that I've had has even made me like even more passionate about the work that I do, because I'm single-handedly seeing it, experiencing it, and like living through it. So I can imagine that this program in general just like makes you so much more passionate and connected to the work and inspired to take action, which is like exactly what we need. And my next question, I guess, for you is like, why do you think youth really have an important role in addressing climate change? I mean, we are the future, but I feel like so many of us really like carry the weight on our shoulder, thinking that we are the only ones able to solve this. That's kind of a big, heavy question. I don't even know if there is an answer. I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, what would I say? But yeah, what would you have to share about that?
I think my answer is like a little bit divergent. Like, yes, I believe that youth have like a pivotal role in like addressing climate change.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it's a really big responsibility for like all generations to
totally.
Be working. I think that we as communities might not have as many opportunities for intergenerational learning and for like really established mentorship pathways to occur. And I think like as a young person, having connections feels really important and understanding like what is really going on and how you can actually be integrated into your community and make a difference feels like that, like knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And like young people have like so much time ahead of them in terms of their lifespan. And also like we are equipped with so much knowledge and access to knowledge, and having the human side of that be really present in who we know and how we know them. And yeah, I think that that feels like a way to jump off of those really big advantages that young people have in their age and their way to like look at something in a fresh way and to be able to connect with like old ways of knowing and bring in new ways of knowing.
And how do you choose what community projects to take on?
Yeah, I think like honestly a mixed bag. Definitely we are constrained in some ways based on the grants that are available and the partners that we can access, and that kind of contributes to the money that we can attain to pay these people to do the work, right?
Yeah.
But when we're kind of aligning these projects, we really want to make sure that like these projects are, they are doing something for our communities that are human communities and also our like ecological and ecological communities. We also want to make sure that like they're beneficial for our crew and like aligning with crew values and kind of like they're going to be coming out of some of a project feeling like they've gained skills and gained gained knowledge that they can then transfer over into to like future employment or future like experiences in a way that's like building a value set.
Nice. And within the program itself, are there like team building opportunities for youth? And do you guys talk about like the similar like anxieties and worries that we've like talked a little bit about? Like, do you provide a space for that?
Yeah, we do. We really try to have like a pretty holistic training and bringing in speakers and bringing in like workshop opportunities throughout the season that goes that like kind of includes like we want to make sure that folks are leaving with leadership skills and an awareness of like leadership language. How do you show up to work? How do you show up to like your community in a way that's positive, productive? And we also talk about like what is happening in your local community and like how does that impact you? How are you feeling those things? And we definitely talk about like the impacts of climate change locally. And I think that there's still a lot of room for improving like a better understanding of eco grief. And that's like something that we're really trying to explore a little bit more. Yeah, I think those are like good questions to be asking crew.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what kind of projects do you guys have planned for 2023?
We are in the midst still of grant writing season.
Yep, like I feel that.
You well know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it really just depends on some of these outcomes on these grants. However, some really exciting news that we are having coming this season is that with WildSight, we'll be having a Golden Crew start. They'll be working with wildfire risk reduction.
Nice.
And possibly Rosalind. I'm not going to say any definitives there. Mm-hmm. They'll be working like energy retrofits. And then with our National Youth Climate Corps partner, they're responsible for expanding beyond the Columbia Valley. Mm-hmm. They're going to be starting a Vancouver crew, Vancouver Island, and likely in Kelowna as well.
Wow. Yeah, it's really growing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Definitely. Like,
and I know you talked a little bit about this in your TED talk during the Countdown event, but that you do surveys and kind of collect data from youth who actually participate in the program. And I'm really curious to hear like what kind of feedback you've had and what are some of your findings of, you know, youth participating in this program?
Yeah, we do a lot of surveys and collect a lot of data from these crew. And so far we've been getting like a really wide range of things. Like we've been learning a lot of things, wide range of things. I think some things that we are learning is like the importance and value on like providing a wage that feels like people can live on, and trying to understand what kind of benefits make a wage feel appropriate and reasonable for the work that we ask folks to do.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely like getting feedback on wages, also getting feedback on like what certifications feel impactful and appropriate, and partnerships that feel impactful and appropriate. Yeah. And that goes to mentorship opportunities too. And I think that's like something that's really exciting to see is the connections that folks are having, not only within the crews,
mm-hmm.
and connect with others and feel hopeful because of meeting like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Also like meeting like-minded movements that are larger than that core group of people.
Yeah. Wow. And now most people, let's say, kind of on maybe like closer to the 30 range or are interested in like getting a career after they do this program. Do you find that like most people are able to find a job once they gain these experience and skills?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think like where we've only had about 5 crews come through, we've got a pretty small pool to kind of like pull that information from,
right.
Especially where a lot of our crew members are still enrolled in post-secondary education.
Right. And okay.
So we definitely have experiences like instances where crews have found work with program partners.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the number of folks that are still enrolled in school, it doesn't feel like a high proportion because of where they're at in their lives right now.
Right. That's fair. And that's cool too, that like a lot of people, if they're in post-secondary, that definitely helps them kind of decide or understand what they like to do before actually like going into the real world of job hunting and being like, I have no idea really what I like to do, but I'm just going to apply to all these different jobs. But that's cool that if they already have a lot of the skills and training and experiences and are like, no, I know exactly I want to work in like wildfire management. And so those are the jobs I want to apply for. And I already have the skills to do that. So that's so cool. I wish that I had this experience like in my hometown or when I was going to school and being able to just like, yeah, gain those skills and knowledge, make those connections with other youth that are passionate with like about the same things that I am. And it's also so cool because it's tied to a nonprofit and like.
Me too. And I guess that's also a really good point. Like a lot of these folks that are going into post-secondary education or like in the middle of post-secondary education are re-evaluating like what they're applying for in terms of programs, and then also coming away with like a lot of different ideas as like to how they're wanting to apply their knowledge or maybe like what work they want to do in their summer hiatus and things like that.
Yeah, it's so cool. Okay, and so when can individuals apply for the 2023 program? What does the whole application process look like?
We've kind of change the way that we have our application process throughout each season just to see what's working, because we are still a relatively new program. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that folks feel included and that it's low barriered. And we want to feel really inviting to anyone in that age range of 17 to 30 that wants to apply, because just an awesome opportunity for folks. And
We are trying to open our application process in February of this year. However, that's like, there might be some different time. We've got a bunch of different crews in different areas. So there might be a few different differences between those branches. Mm-hmm. And we'll have more information kind of coming up on our website and also on our social media pages. And also we'll be posting on a bunch of different local and provincial and national job boards too.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. And for someone, say if there's someone young, you know, listening to this podcast episode and is like, wow, this program like sounds really cool. Why do you think someone should get involved in this program?
Oh, gosh. Hello, first and foremost. It's so nice to meet you in your earbuds. I think that people should apply because it's a really wonderful way to engage in your community and to learn like the diversity of things that are happening and understand that like you are capable and you have like the potential to be doing things that are meaningful mm-hmm. in a really wonderful and localized way.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm just thinking about this too. I'm like, you know what? I'm still under 30, so technically I could take part in this program even if I want, like, you know.
Oh, those would be Kayla. So they took you away, Joelle.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to leave Friends of Kinney Lake to go participate in this program, but only for 6 months and then I'll be back.
Yeah. We'd be really happy to have you.
Nice. I'll keep it in my back pocket. I still got 4 years, so we'll see where I'm at then.
Yeah. Please keep us in your back pocket.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mel, for coming on the podcast. This was like such an awesome episode. And I love how we kind of got deep in some of our conversations and then also very much ended things on a very hopeful and positive note and very inspiring as well. Like this program is so awesome. And yeah, I encourage if any young people are listening to this episode, like get out there, get involved. And if you are feeling like overwhelmed and anxious by the climate crisis, like taking action is the best way to kind of overcome that. And it's so important. And this program is just one of the ways that you can do that. So yeah, thanks so much, Mel. Do you have anything you want to share before we wrap up? Maybe you can mention like your website and like maybe some social media that people can follow along that the work that WildSight does.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Joelle. This has been really nice to meet you and also be invited here on what's quickly becoming an institution in the Kootenays. So. If you would love to check out the work that we do a little further, we can be found at WildSight. That's WILDSIGHT.ca. And you can go directly to our page by adding a / there and YCC after that. And then we also have our program partners, Youth Climate Core, and that's core as in CORPS.com, and there you can check out things that they're doing over in Vancouver and Vancouver Island and things like that. And then we can be found on Instagram and Facebook at WildSight Youth Climate Core, and then Youth Climate Core also has their Youth Climate Core National also has their own Instagram pages too.
What you gonna do if the things you do? Thanks for tuning in to Voices of the Lake. Stay updated on what we've been up to. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Friends of Kootenay Lake. Read our blog posts at friendsofkootenaylake.ca and sign up to our monthly e-newsletter. A huge thanks to our funders, FortisBC and the Regional District of Central Kootenay for helping us bring these stories to you. Again, you're listening to Cell Reception by Earl Hamilton. You can listen to more of Earl's stuff on Bandcamp. Thanks again, Earl. Gonna be spending on your cell phone today. And I said, hey, if you're always on your cell phone.